I wanted to talk about 2 days of Yom Tov. And there are at least four reasons, maybe a fifth even, why we have 2 days Yom Tov. There's a Yerushalmi in Erevin, a very interesting Yerushalmi. The Rishalmi says, because we didn't observe 1 day of Yom Tov properly in Eretz Yisrael, so the Rabbeinu Shlomo imposed upon us to keep the halacha imposed upon us to keep 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. So it seems that from that take, it's a little bit of pejorative. On the other hand, there was an Adam Godel in Eretz Yisrael, the son-in-law of Aryeh Levin, Zatzal, Rabbi Eliezer Plachinsky, and he said that the one thing that he missed from Chutz La'aretz was the second Seder, that he couldn't get used to not having the second Seder. So, the Rishalmi is telling us why the Hashgacha dictated, perhaps, that it came about. It's in Perek Gimel Halacha Tes in the Rishalmi in Erevin. But in the Sugya Sashas, there are at least four reasons. Shas Rishonim, there are at least four reasons that we have Yom Tov Sheni. Now, the simplest, let's start with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was the simplest of all. Rosh Hashanah is the only Yom Tov which occurs on Rosh Chodesh. Now, since, there are said there may be limitations on the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, and with the Rabbanon, there's much more severe limitations. We can go 1 mil, basically. So it really was an impossibility to spread around Eretz Yisrael when Yom Tov took place, when the Rosh Chodesh took place, when Rosh Hashanah was taking place. Or I have perhaps on that later on, but inevitably, if you were within the Tchum of Yerushalayim, so you could know. And outside the Tchum of Yerushalayim, that's it. You could only guess. Guess if you were close enough, they could wave to you. But that's about it. So that was the first, really, 2 days of Yom Tov. It was Rosh Hashanah. Because just in practical terms, how could we observe it as 1 day when we didn't know? Remember, the Kiddush HaChodesh took place because Edom came, and they saw the first sliver of light on the new month's moon, and they came to report it to Sanhedrin. And if they passed muster, if the Sanhedrin interviewed them, so they would declare the next morning, they would declare the first morning of there could be Rosh Chodesh, they would declare it Rosh Chodesh. So that process would not, since it was not a mathematical process, the mathematics perhaps were used for Besdin to check on the Edom, to see that what they're saying is mathematically correct. If it's not mathematically correct, they chased them out. But nevertheless, since it had to do with live witnesses coming, so if I lived in Tel Aviv, I had no idea when Rosh Chodesh actually took place. Right? It could have place on the 30th day, it took place on the 31st day, one of those two. Which one it's going to be? I don't know. How do I know when the Edom are going to show up? How do I know that they'll be suitable for Besdin, that Besdin will accept them? Maybe they won't pass the interview, and better they'll dismiss them and wait for someone else to come. So this was the first occasion of 2 days of Yom Tov, was how to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting that Yom Kippur, we never, in all the permutations that existed, but we never celebrated Yom Kippur for 2 days. For a very obvious reason, it would be a pretty daunting challenge to impose a 48-hour fast on the Tzibur. We have enough problems with the 24-hour fast, 25-hour fast. To double it in length would not go. Would not be a very wise idea. So there was Seimach on the fact that there was a Rove, that Rove of the time, the day that they presumed to be Rosh Hashanah, usually the first day of that Elul only had 29 days, and the 30th day was Rosh Hashanah. In the overwhelming majority of years, that was the case. And consequently, as far as fasting on Yom Kippur is concerned, they assumed that that was the day. Now, it's interesting Among the Chassidei Ashkenaz, the Torah cites them at the very end in the Hilchos Yom Kippur. There were those that fasted 2 days for Yom Kippur too. They fasted Yud and they fasted Yud Aleph. What? Full deal.
Yeah, but if it was a legitimate suffering, so it's
fast. So they held it. It's spirit. God, it's a suffix. Enough of a suffix that a righteous person should fast, and enough of a suffix, small enough a suffix, that if you're not a big tzaddik, you can get away with it. They didn't do malacha. Nothing. They kept not known. We didn't observe it. These Chassidei Ashkenaz, they had a full day Yom Kippur too.
When Chazal
did not make Yom Kippur more than one day, period. What's the Yom Kippur? It's over. There's no Issa Malacha, there's no Issa fasting, nothing. It's hard to know exactly how they gauged it because the Tor Shulchan Aruch, that's the context that he brings in it. Suppose you had a guest that was one of these Chassidei Ashkenaz. And you told him, listen, I'm going to cook a steak for you today. So you'll have a good meal when the fast ends. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, another 3 hours, you're going to want to eat. So you don't want to wait for the food. So that's... if he knew about it, he would have to stop you from doing it. So the whole cheshbon, I spent a lot of time trying to cheshbon out what this Torah wanted with this. Why should he stop? Marcus Shlito said a good pshat. So the pshat is that I hold it's osur. You say it's mutter. So as far as I'm concerned, you're a shayge, you're a mutter. You say it's mutter. So if you don't want to do malocha for me, be shayge, I shouldn't be able to benefit from it and whatever the story of a shayge is. But as far as I'm concerned, you're doing a malocha b'sheigig. That's how far it went. So it's... I don't know what I breathed in, something. Kitzur. So that's Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah was probably the first of the 2 day Yom Tov. Now, I don't know, how do they normally avoid 2 days of Yom Tov? So the Mishnah Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. They had stations every X number of miles on mountaintops. And they would light bonfires. And the next mountain stop would see the bonfire. So they'd light a bonfire, the next stop, and the next stop. So probably within a few hours, they knew about it all the way in Bovel already. This method. The problem was that this method got disrupted. Why did it get disrupted? Because along came the Tztukim, and they decided they... that they don't like that the Prushim are running the religion. So they decided to disrupt the Prushim. So they started lighting bonfires, what they call false flags. So on nights when it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So they had to terminate this process. And they instituted a process of overland messengers. Now I'm a little bit unsure initially why they had this with Rosh Hashanah, why they didn't use this system also. Unless maybe they did use this system, Rosh Hashanah. But they light bonfires. It could occur any other night than Friday night. So you could light a bonfire. So it's Litzarach Mitzvah. So the Chorah should be Mutter because of Mitoch. So I don't know if maybe they did initially, and then when the Stukim disrupted it, they had the problem. It does not seem like that. That's the next step. We didn't get to that yet. This is before that happened. So, now let's go back to Rosh Hashanah. So that was the first reason that they kept 2 days. Is because in Tel Aviv, in Haifa, in Tzfat, they didn't know when the Sanhedrin declared Rosh Chodesh. Then there occurred an incident. And that is, the Edom could come at any time. So they came near the very end of the day of Rosh Hashanah, and they were good Edom. That it was really Rosh Hashanah. So it says, "V'niskalkalu ha-Levim b'shir." The Levim said the wrong shir. Why it's focused on the shir and not focused on the karbonos, whatever. There's at least two toses in Shas to deal with this, that subject. So what happened was, since they came so late in the day, they didn't anticipate they're going to come anymore, and they proceeded to say a shir, like shir shayim, the shir that's appropriate. Now, that's already, it's pretty mukhrach. If you just read that Gemara, you realize one very simple thing, that the shir on Yontif was not the same shir that they said on the weekdays. You don't even have to look any further than that Gemara, because it was Monday afternoon. So if the shir on Yontif and the weekday shir is the same, so whatever they did Monday afternoon, they did this week Monday too. So it's not self-evident that on Yontif they had a different set of shir. So it is kalkulu alaviyim b'shir. So then they were perturbed that they could not run the Beis Hamikdash properly. So they made a new takana, that if you come in Amincha l'maylo, we don't accept you. The limitation, the time limit. There's no lack of apprehension of the facts. We know that today is the Rosh Chodesh day. They have the Edom here and they're telling us. They came to tell us. But we tell them that's it. So we don't observe. We observe Rosh Hashanah. We're going to finish the day B'Ktusha. And tomorrow we'll also make Kodesh. So this was now, for the first time, even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, you could have 2 days Yom Tov. Until now, we were dealing Rosh Hashanah in Tel Aviv, Haifa, Tzfat, Be'er Sheva. But it didn't know what took place in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov itself. But now we had, finally, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, 2 days Yom Tov. There were no doubts. We knew all the facts. We were not lacking any pieces of information. And nevertheless, we're going to have 2 days of Yom Tov. So those 2 days of Yom Tov have a whole different stripe to them, as we'll see, than the other types of 2 days of Yom Tov. We'll come to that. So here we have 2 days of Yom Tov in the Beis HaMikdash, with no doubt about the facts. We know all the facts, and we still have 2 days of Yom Tov. This is the second occasion. Now, what happened was, I mentioned that the Tzdukim began fooling around and making false fires to sow confusion about when Rosh Chodesh was. So, what did they do? So they had to get certified overland messages. You know, bonded messages. So we know that, you know, you're cleared. You're on the level. But that had its own limitations. Let's leave Yom Kippur out of the equation. But, so the Sukkos and Pesach both occur on the 15th of the month. But they were going to be for 4 days in the first 2 weeks of Tishrei that you can't travel, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Shabbos, and 1 day Yom Kippur, perhaps, even as many as 4 days. Or if it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos, then there'll be two Shabbos. So either way, you're going to have 4 days that you can't travel. In Nisan, we're going to have 2 days that we can't travel. It's the most Shabbos we could have up until Pesach. In the first 14 days, we can't have more than two Shabbos. So that's all the number of days. So in Nisan, you had 12 days to travel, and in Tishrei, you had either... you had 10 days to travel in Tishrei. So there's only X amount of distance you could cover in 10 days. X amount of distance. So how are they going to get to their far-reaching communities? We live in New York. It's a little bit far from Yerushalayim. You know, even with a horse and buggy, it's going to take them a while to get here. So what did... so now we have a problem, a new problem now. That we live, if we live outside the 10 or the 12-day radius of Yerushalayim, I'm never going to know when Yom Tov is supposed to be. I could narrow it down probably to when I know what the possibilities are, so I could narrow it down to one of 2 days, but I don't know which one it actually is. So what are those people supposed to do? So here we have the institution, oh, again, similar to the first institution of Yom Tov Sheni by Rosh Hashanah, we have it by all the Yom Tovim now. We have 2 days of Yom Tov. Well, just in case they didn't accept the Eidim today, or the Eidim didn't make it on day one and they came on day two, so we're observing that as the Yom Tov day. That's where the Yom Tov begins. So now we have the reason of the inherent doubts about Rosh Hashanah. We have 2 days Yom Tov in the Beis HaMikdash. And now we have the incidents of the problem striking the far-flung communities, that the Eidim didn't arrive there, or messengers didn't arrive there. So they didn't know when Yom Tov was. So they were in the dark. So they kept 2 days Yom Tov because of that. Now, that did not remain that way. So far we have three reasons so far. I'm sorry, two reasons. That did not remain that way yet. We're going to come to the third reason that we have 2 days of Yom Tov. And it's interesting, Abaya already talks about this in the Gemara in Be'ah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not
recorded anywhere that there were ever observed 2 days Yom Kippur.
There are probably
places
in Bava
that were
500 miles away.
What?
There are probably places in
Bava that were... they were Seimach on the Rav. Rav, yes, it was what we call the first day of Rosh Hashanah was Rosh Hashanah, overwhelmingly so, and that's what they were Seimach on. So now the question arose, in the 4th century, there arose Hillel. But not the famous Hillel of Hillel and Shammai, but a descendant apparently of that Hillel, and he was the latter day Hillel. And the latter day Hillel sized up the scene, and he sized it up very well, that the Kiddush HaChodesh is not going to last much longer. If we have to have live witnesses coming to Sanhedrin, it's not going to happen. We're not going to have a Sanhedrin soon. To all the Roman pressure against giving smicha and for the abolition of smicha, the institution of the Sanhedrin is not going to last. So then how are we going to have Yom Tov? Shabbos is every seventh day. Yom Tov, we need Kiddush HaChodesh. So how's the Kiddush HaChodesh going to take place? So the latter day Hillel used the mathematical model, whereas until that time you needed live Eidim to come. No, now they took the mathematical model, and his Bezdin was Mekadesh all the months until Bias HaGoyel. So the reason that we have Yom Tov today, the reason today was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, because Hillel, the latter Hillel of the 4th century, was Mekadosh today as Rosh Chodesh. How did he know? He knew the mathematics, and he knew today's going to be Rosh Chodesh. Figured it out. So now arises the question, well, if we're now using the mathematical model, so what are the 2 days of Yom Tov for? We'll also do the math. I don't know how to do it, so I'll hire a professor of math to do it for me, but I'll get to the bottom of it. I don't know. Just, you know, open up the Torah Shulchan Aruch at the end of Siman Tov Chav Ches, and there's a chart where every, you know, Yom Tov is going to be, except there was 1 year that they botched up, the printers botched it up, I think around 1910, something like that. There was 1 year they botched up what was in the Torah Shulchan Aruch, and the Chazanish and others were that astute that they knew about it, and they were publicized it, you know, before it became a problem. So the shaila is, why do we need 2 days Yom Tov anymore? Now we know when Rosh Chodesh is. So Abaye said that Hizoru b'minhag avoseichem, be very careful about the practices of your forebears. Don't dismiss them that quickly. Now we have the luxury of knowledgeable Jews that know, understand the Kiddush HaChodesh and know when Rosh Chodesh is. Who says we're always going to have them in every place? Maybe in history we're going to have communities where there's nobody there that knows what to do. Nobody will know the cheshbon, and that's it. It'll be, you know, up in the air. I mean, listen, the Amoratzis that took place in Jewish history is awesome. Right? When you have someone that came to a rov came to me, it's about 2 weeks ago now, I think, that someone came to him, and basically his father did Yibum to his mother, and he was born from that union. Only one, it's Sfardim, but there was only one little problem, that the first husband had a child with his wife. that little part, that, you know, Ben Einlo, that part that got lost in the transmission. You know, Amoratzis is, we don't know where it ends. What? Well, we have to know what all the facts are. Were his parents actually married for the first one? Were they actually married? So there's a lot of ambiguity that has to be investigated. But so Amoratzis doesn't know a shir. So Abaye said, how do we know everyone's going to be learned? Yavo Hayom, that there won't be learned people in some places. And then what are we going to do? So we're better off with 2 days Yom Tov, right? And it happened in our lifetime. Under the communist regime, it was very hard for the Jews to know exactly when Yom Tov was. There was a thing to send New Year's cards, Rosh Hashanah cards, which contained a calendar printed inside them. With the hope, I guess, that we get through the censor, because they would just look like a greeting card. But people did not actually know when Rosh Hashanah is. So they said, Shem v'yachsor dovo l'kukulo, that maybe we should go on keeping 2 days Yom Tov as a protective device, just in case things get really bad in Jewish history, we'll still observe the Yom Tov properly, because we won't trash them, even though we don't know which date they occur on. So that's the fourth reason we have now, right? So we have the confusion concerning Rosh Hashanah. Initially, we have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash. We have the limitations of the overland couriers, messengers, that they didn't reach the far-flung communities, and therefore we kept 2 days. And then finally, we said, Hizor v'minhag avoseichem. Now we don't have any ambiguity. We know exactly which day is the real day of Yom Tov. It's the first day always, and that's it. And that's the problem. But nevertheless, Hizoru b'minhag avoseichem. So this is a fourth reason that we have. Now, well, maybe we could count it as three, because you could say the first day, with the first incidents of Rosh Hashanah and the incidents of the Chagam are basically the same mechanism, that if you live not in the area of the Bez, then different parameters to how far they've been to do or away, but you couldn't get the information. So at least we have 3.5 reasons. But now we have a fourth one yet. And that's the one that's most relevant to us presently. Why do we have 2 days Yom Tov for Shavuos? Right. Shavuos is the one Yom Tov in the Torah which does not list the date. It doesn't say what day it is. It just says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Right, after the first day Yom Tov, count 50 days, and the 50th day is Shavuos. In fact, we have even the Rabbanon and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah say Shavuos could be the 5th Sivan, the 6th Sivan, the 7th Sivan. We don't run the calendar that way. We always make it on Vov for whatever reason. That's a different shmugus. But nevertheless, it has no fixed date. And certainly we know by the time Shavuos came, they knew when Pesach was. That's clear. So why do we have 2 days of Shavuos? We should have only 1 day Shavuos. That's it. We'll tell the Israelis who are joining them. We're having Shabbos. Shabbos, Sunday is Yontif, and that's it. Monday is, you know, go back to regular. So why do we have 2 days of Shavuos? So it's interesting. The Rambam says that they made 2 days Shavuos off for the Chag HaBatzeres, even for Shavuos. So the Chasam Sofer says what the Rambam is saying is that really they shouldn't have made Yom Tov Sheni for Shavuos because we don't need it. But for uniformity's sake, that if you're in a place where normally you keep 2 days Yom Tov for the other Chagim, so we don't want 1 day Yom Tov for Shavuos. For uniformity's sake, we said, with light plug, we're going to make 2 days Shavuos too, even though in principle there's really no reason to do such a thing. So that's clearly a fourth reason that we have Yom Tov Sheni, the low plug of Shavuos. So we have four reasons. Now the reasons make for a difference. The Chasam Sofer wants to suggest it's not borne out by the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch did not hold this way, but the Chasam Sofer claims that if you take the Rambam's view that Shavuos is a light plug, so then it's not misafik. It's to the contrary. We know which day Yom Tov is the 50th day from after the first day of Pesach. That's it. That's Shavuos. So we know which day that is. So he says, oh, it's a takana. If it's a takana, he said, then that will impose limitations upon us. What are the limitations? The advent of 2 days of Yom Tov brings with it both chumras and kulas to come together with it. Right? Let's start with something very prosaic, not very much in our world. You know, not that we're so far removed from it, but it's just not part of our world. An egg was laid on the first day of Yom Tov. Can you eat it on the second day of Yom Tov? Now, let's assume that an egg which was laid on Shabbos, you can't eat on the next day, Sunday, which is Yom Tov. So here we have an egg laid on Friday, which is Yom Tov. And I didn't get to eating, I didn't want to eat it. And Monday, hey, this looks like a nice egg, I'll eat it. So what's the din? May I or may I not? So we say like this. In reality, how many days of Yom Tov are there? One. Chazal just said that Yizor Minag HaVasechem, just as your forefathers weren't sure, so act as if you're not sure. Okay, I'll act as if I'm not sure. So, an egg which is laid the first day of Yom Tov is now going to be mutter on the second day of Yom Tov. Why? Except Rosh Hashanah. Because either the first day was really Yom Tov or the second day was really Yom Tov. So either way, it's not an egg which was born on Yom Tov and I want to eat on Yom Tov. That you can't do. Born on Shabbos and eat it on Yom Tov. Born on Yom Tov, eat it on Shabbos. That you can't do. But in our case, since it's 2 days of Yom Tov, and only 1 day is in reality Yom Tov, so the way it sets up is the following, that either the first Sunday this year is Erev Shavuos, and Monday is actually Shavuos, so the egg was born on Erev Yom Tov, so I could eat it on Yom Tov. Elamai, maybe the first day of Yom Tov was Yom Tov, so Sunday was Yom Tov, so Monday is a weekday. So an egg born on a weekday, and Yom Tov is mutter on the next weekday that rolls around. So that egg is mutter, we paskin. Nol de bazoo, right, is muteris bazoo. This does not apply to Rosh Hashanah. Since in Rosh Hashanah we have two different reasons that we made the Yom Tov. We made the Yom Tov misafik, but then we made it even mivada, even when we knew the facts at the Beis HaMikdash. So sometimes Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov 2 days, not misafik, but because there's a takana. We legislated. It has to be 2 days, despite the fact that we have all the info. So because of that, they always set Rosh Hashanah in a chumradika position as if the 2 days Yom Tov were always Mutam Vadeh, which they're not always Mutam Vadeh. But they could be mitam v'adai. We treat them as if they're always mitam v'adai. So if that's the case, an egg which is born the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is also yontif. So I can't get away with saying, oh, you know, monofshach. There's no monofshach by Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, they could both be yontif without any sveikus. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say that in effect, when we say by Shavuos, a lot of things shouldn't be. I believe according to him it would come out that Nol Devezu is a Sura Bezu. And there's another halacha which is very dependent on this type of structure. What happens, not relevant for this Yontif, it was relevant for Pesach, well, what happens if I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin? So let's say Yontif is Thursday, Friday, and then comes Shavuos. I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. I remember after nightfall on Yontif. So what do I do? So if there was a rav and the rav made for the whole community, okay, so I can cook on that basis. But if there wasn't a rav or it didn't make for the whole community, so now what do I do? So we have an eitza. The eitza is the following. That on Thursday, I take the egg and the matzah and I say, listen, if today is Erev Yontif in reality and Yontif is tomorrow, I'm making an Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin only works on Erev Shabbos, ever. It does not work the first day of Yontif. It works only the day which is adjacent to Shabbos. So if it's a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Yontif, the Erev Tavshilin does not work on Thursday. So I said, listen, if today is Erev Yontif, I'm making an Erev Tavshilin. Tomorrow will be Yontif, with that Erev Tavshilin I'll cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Elamai, what will you tell me? Nah, you got it all wrong. Today is a weekday. I mean, today is Yontif. Oh, today is Yontif. That means tomorrow's not Yontif, so I don't need an Erev Tavshilin. So we allow a person to make this shtick. Comes from the Gemara. So in case you forget, and you have a Thursday, Friday Yontif, you can get yourself straightened out again. However, so that's dependent on one day being Yontif, the next day not being Yontif. But if they're both Yontif, not Misofik, if they're both Yontif, then you can't do this. So it will come out, I think, according to the Chasam Sofer wants to claim, that I would not be able to make an Erev Tavshilin. If Yontif would come out with such a structure, it doesn't happen to be, we don't have it in our calendar, it's not going to come out that way. Shavuos can be, Pesach occurs, cannot occur on the even days of the week. So the first day of Yontif is always an odd day of the week. It means it's on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Shabbos is the first day of Pesach. That means Shavuos, for Shavuos to be a Thursday, Friday Yontif, you would need a Wednesday Pesach, which can't be in our calendar, it can't be. But hypothetically, it would come out, for example, you could not use this trick for an Erev Tavshilin, because the second Shavuos is a Vaday. It has nothing to do with being Mesupik. Or it should come out that Nol Debezu is a Sura Bezu, because they're also both Vaday Yom Tovim. The Shulchan Aruch does not seem to support either of these positions. One is theoretical, one is Lamaisa, but the Shulchan Aruch does not make an exception for Shavuos that Nol Debezu is a Sura Bezu. So, but that is what the Chasam Sofer claims, that just on Rosh Hashanah, right, we have the same thing. On Rosh Hashanah, Nol Debezu was a Surah Bezu, because 2 days Yontif could be, because in the Beis HaMikdash they would have kept 2 days, perhaps this year. So therefore, we have always observe it as if they were keeping a 2 day Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Nol Debezu was a Surah Bezu. I can't say, well, today's Yontif. Well, tomorrow's also Yontif. How do you like that one? Rosh Hashanah, they're both Yontif. In reality. So consequently, on Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is that Nol Debezu is a Surah Bezu. So what the reason for this 2 day Yontif is, as halacha l'maisa ramifications. Now, how about running this the other way? Now we ran it l'chumra. Can we run this l'kula too? Well, I want to, on Sunday, you know, I have some extra time Sunday, so I like to cook a piece of meat for a Monday meal. Monday, we're going to come home from shul. It's going to be a big rush. So Sunday, I'll cook a piece of meat for Monday. Sunday afternoon. Nice and quiet in the house. So that's it. I'll make a roast beef for tomorrow. So that you can't do. because achono mezulazu you can't do. Because maybe today is yontif and tomorrow is not. So you can't make him a yontif l'chol. Toiv. Now how about saying like this? How about I want to prepare from the first day of Rosh Hashanah to the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Now here I can't say, well, maybe today is yontif and tomorrow is not. If today is yontif and tomorrow is yontif. So what do you mean maybe tomorrow is not? They're both yontif. That's the way we conduct ourselves, that they're both yontif. So can I do something on Yontif Rishon which for the purpose of benefiting from Yontif Sheni? Now realize, we're not talking about a Melocha D'Raisa. That would be poshut, that it's Osir. But I'm talking about something that the Rabbanim legislated. So since rabbinically we consider this all one long day of Yontif, there's no Suffolk here, it's all Yontif. So therefore I should be allowed to prepare from the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And I do believe that that's what the Rambam in fact holds. We don't paskin that way. And we say you can't prepare from one day Rosh Hashanah to the next. So there's the possibility then of using this, you know, setup that it's of Midin Vadai, that we should be able to use it Lekula too. But the other Rishonim don't bite, we paskin like the other Rishonim. But it's an interesting thought. So we have a number of dinim which revolve around the relationship of Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni. We have some exceptions, and that is that we do have, in other words, built within the framework of the halacha, generally we did not differentiate between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni, right, with two notable exceptions. One is that someone that is ill, not dangerously ill, but he's actually ill, is really ill, more than just uncomfortable, can have medical treatment, which doesn't involve a malacha on, or take medicines on Shabbos Ayuntif. But if someone just has a minor ailment, which he's a little bit uncomfortable about, but he's not sick and he's not going out of his mind, so he's not supposed to take medicine for it. So Yontif Sheni, Chazal allowed us to take it. I guess it gets, you know, pretty hard. If a person wouldn't be able to take medicine sometimes for 2 days, sometimes even for 3 days, it would become pretty difficult in some situations. So Chazal said, this is a gzera, you know, everything you have to know when to trim your sails, when you're going too far. So to impose it on a second day Yontif, it's too much of an imposition to do that. Now on Rosh Hashanah we don't have that. On Rosh Hashanah we have that the second day Yontif is exactly the same as the first as far as medicine is concerned. It's no difference. There is only one difference in Rosh Hashanah, and that is in Kfuras Hames. According to the din of the Gemara, on Yontif Rishon we can engage non-Jewish gravediggers and undertakers, and on Yontif Sheni, Jewish undertakers can take care of the job. So this halacha applies both to Yom Tovim and to Rosh Hashanah too. For Rosh Hashanah they made allowance for this too. That what's the difference? Yontif Rishon again is non-Jews, and Yontif Sheni, Jews can do it. So there is certainly a mile for Jews to do it. So when Mailo and Yontif Sheni of Rosh Hashanah, they also allowed Jews to overtake care of the Kfur. But this is, I said, this is the one exception to the general rule that we have. That in Rosh Hashanah, there's no difference between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni. Now, there's a whole literature which has to be understood. One of the things that we do in Yontif, to the largest extent, we do not allow ourselves to say, well, the first day was Midrabbanan, or the Raisa, the second day is Midrabbanan, since it's Midrabbanan, I can now pull out my whole shopping bag of kulas that I wouldn't dare use on Yom Tov Rishon and use them on Yom Tov Sheni. So we say no. If we would do that, then Yom Tov Sheni would have long ago disappeared from the face of the earth. Because people would say, listen, this is not the real deal. You see how many kulas that you have? We have an encyclopedia of kulas for Yom Tov Sheni. So the halacha dictated that there should be no differences between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. You cannot differentiate on Yom Tov Sheni because Yom Tov Sheni is the rabbon and Yom Tov Rishon is the rice. You can't get away with that. So we find, interestingly, so we know smoking on Yom Tov was always a controversial matter. It was always controversy swirled around it, but eventually it did become pretty widely accepted in the Hamoin Kobes Yisrael. People smoked on Yom Tov. Now, Baruch Hashem, we live in a time that it's in our part of the world, smoking is a faux pas. It just socially doesn't cut it. But in other places, they do smoke, and they do smoke on Yom Tov Sheni, on Yom Tov Rishon too, for whatever the reasons may be. So the Chacham Tzvi used to not smoke on Yom Tov Rishon, and he smoked on Yom Tov Sheni. So the Shaila is how he could do such a thing. We can't, the halacha is very strict about not making such a differentiation between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. So I tell that the Pshat in the Chacham Tzvi is, it didn't have to do with the difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. If he had a Yom Tov Rishon that came after Shabbos, he might have been Mekel too. In other words, the fact that he'd already waited, by the time Yom Tov Sheni came, he hadn't had a smoke in more than 24 hours, it was getting pretty difficult if he used to smoking. So that's why he smoked on Yom Tov Sheni. If he felt that way on Yom Tov Rishon, maybe if Yom Tov Rishon came after Shabbos, maybe he would have smoked then too. You know, if he felt that level of discomfiture. So that's the reason for it. Not because of the difference in Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, but just now it's, he waited another day. So it became a little bit more difficult. So it's just, it underscores, you know, the halachic framework, you know, of Yom Tov Sheni. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting, the Magen Avraham goes into it, the Chassam Sofer, I believe, that if you follow the sugya, when was the Torah actually given? On Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan? It was actually given on Zayin Sivan. How do we know? It was simple cheshbon. When was Yetzias Mitzrayim? When was Yetzias Mitzrayim? On Thursday. Right? Shabbos HaGadol was Yud. And Thursday was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, when was the Torah given? On Shabbos. So the Shabbos from Thursday is how many days? It's 51 days. So 51 days later should come out of Zion Sivan. So why do we celebrate the Yom Tov on the 6th? So some want to say, what? That's in the preparations, but after that, still came out on the seventh. So that's a whole Torah. What? So there are some that say there's some type of allusion to Yom Tov Sheni and all of this. The Torah was given on that day, and it's destined to be a day of Yom Tov of Shruas. So there is some allusion to Yom Tov Sheni. I do believe, who is it, Asura Maimoros, if I remember correctly? I just remembered now. He wants to tell you that Yom Tov Sheni is particularly really a Shavuos type of notion. That why? I may be putting my own words into it, but his thought is the following. That how do we sin with the Chet of the Eagle? Because we were so sure when Yom Tov, what the days are. If we'd been a little bit less sure, we would have said, it's a Sveik of the Yoyma, so we would have waited another day for Moshe Rabbeinu to show up. Don't be so sure that you have the count right, you know? So he suggests, I think, that this is the Indian of Yom Tov Sheni, is sort of a kapora for the Chet of the Eagle. Don't jump, and it's particularly it's tied up with Shavuos, it comes out. That don't jump so fast to think everything is in, you know, everything is in place. You have everything. Maybe it's not so clear. You know, sit tight. You know, we don't need, you know, very, You know, some people wouldn't be able to restrain themselves. I don't even mean 15 minutes is already, but the Moshe is 15 minutes or late already. That's it, you know. Who could wait for him anymore? You know, it's, even a full professor doesn't get more than 15 minutes. So, the gnosis, another aspect to the din of Yom Tov Sheni. It has had a difficult history, Yom Tov Sheni. I mean, it's clear from the halacha that they were afraid that if we made a more relaxed regimen on Yom Tov Sheni, that Yom Tov Sheni would disappear. We would eventually say, this is not the real deal. The Kesef Mishnah says, in this vein, that we keep Yom Tov Sheni, so a shayla to machloikas, whether mitzad minog we keep it, that the Rambam says it's a takana. Toises and brocha stuff, your dalit learns that it's a minog, because this wants to derive from this that you make a brocha on a minog. The fishitas a Rambam, that it's a takana, toises would not have a raya. Well, so we have don't pull on a moment. So we have these two possibilities that Yom Tov Sheni is a takonah or a minhag. So the Kesef Mishnah says, what do we daven tefillas shel Yom Tov on Yom Tov Sheni? It's a suffix at best. So in the place, let's see where it was a suffix. In the places where it was a suffix, they should have davened shel chol. They should daven shel chol. So basically the Kesef Mishnah says that if we did that, then the Yom Tov Sheni would never have survived. We would have come to shul and we would have said, listen, we don't know what the rabbis are up to, but this is obviously not the real deal. They're telling us to put on tefillin. They're telling us to daven the weekday Shemoneh Esrei. So, come on. Is this Yom Tov or not? Let's, you know, the rabbis obviously themselves don't think it's Yom Tov. So it was necessary in the protection of Yom Tov Sheni, because of Mishnah writes, to say that we're going to daven shel moyed. We're not going to daven shel chol. Otherwise, the Yom Tov doesn't fly. It's not going to succeed. And it's Ara Yom Hazeh. Yom Tov Sheni is had a very tortured history. A very tortured history. You know, until in more contemporary times, the less observant decided it wasn't worth having 2 days of Yom Tov altogether. They're going to go back to the Israeli model. I'll make one day Yom Tov, you know, free up another week for work. So Chazal, in fact, limited the heterim that we could have for Yom Tov Sheni. So basically, when we're done on a shayla for Yom Tov Sheni, we have to judge it with the same parameters as for Yom Tov Rishon. We don't put into the fact that, well, this is the Rabbon on the first day, was the Raisa. That they banned. So this is a little bit an overview, Rabbi Yisrael. With one, let me add one final tidbit to the share. And that is, how many days Rosh Hashanah should there be in Eretz Yisrael? I guess, did they say, did the Hizoru b'minag avoseichem, which they did apply to Eretz Yisrael too? So what are they? So there's a huge tumult in the Rishonim. Apparently, there are some Rishonim and Beyer that say you keep 1 day Rosh Hashanah, some Rishonim and Beyer that say you keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. And it's apparent from those Rishonim that there were different practices at different times. Sometimes there were communities that kept 1 day, and sometimes there were communities that kept 2 days. Acha nimnu v'gomru, that we're going to keep 2 days Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. But historically, what was supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael, it just shows you the desolation which existed. There was no real Masiris. What was supposed to do? We couldn't go and ask the Gabbai and, you know, in Yerushalayim, listen, how many days Yom Tov do you keep on Rosh Hashanah? There was no Gabbai in Yerushalayim to go ask. So even this was debated among the Rishonim, how many days of Rosh Hashanah to keep, one or two. And as I said, the practice emerged over time that we do observe 2 days of Yom Tov for Rosh Hashanah. Good night, Rabbi Yisai. Yeah.